for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Do you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt or personal loans? With credit card debt at all-time highs, Debt Relief Advocates is urgently notifying consumers of debt relief now being made available, designed to aid consumers with out-of-control credit card debt. Those who qualify and enroll for this relief program will only have to pay back a fraction of what they owe. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. This is a relief program that credit card companies would rather you not know about, as it ends your debt nightmare and saves you lots of money. Consumers owing at least $10,000 in credit card debt or personal loans can now take advantage of this debt relief as the cost of living skyrockets. Debt Relief Advocates has established a relief hotline for you to call to learn what debt reduction you may qualify for, so don't wait. For this free information, call the Relief Hotline at 800-707-6152. 800-707-6152. 800-707-6152.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Federal funding for key programs, grants, and foreign aid paused temporarily after President Trump's executive order. It calls for the Office of Management and Budget to review how the federal funds are spent. The White House press secretary could not offer clarity on whether programs like Medicaid could be impacted. Here's ABC's Mary Alice Parks.
She said she'd have to get back to folks, give them information, get lists of federal programs. So I think that was a huge headline that actually will have a real impact, an immediate impact, potentially for millions of Americans dealing with their health insurance, with their housing assistance, with disaster aid, and so on.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, sworn in over the weekend, addressed staffers today in her first briefing. Earlier today, Noem took part in federal raids in New York City targeting undocumented migrants. Tech stocks trying to recover some of the steep losses yesterday after the launch of Chinese-owned AI chatbot DeepSeek that offers cheaper AI models compared to U.S. models. This is ABC News. At least 17 civilians and 13 peacekeepers killed amid rebel offensive in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Rwandan-backed M23 rebels taking the city of Goma, the largest city in eastern Congo, but still facing some resistance from the army and pro-government militias. Congo's presidency is saying troops from Rwanda are also in the region. Officials say hundreds of people have been injured by the violence and are urging people to shelter in place. Mineral-rich eastern Congo has been plagued by conflict for more than 30 years, since the 1994 Rwandan genocide. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News, at the Foreign Desk.
French President Emmanuel Macron says the Mona Lisa will get its own dedicated room inside the Louvre, while the museum undergoes renovation and expansion. Before Macron announced the Mona Lisa would remain in the Paris landmark, Italian officials pushed for the Da Vinci masterpiece to return to Italy. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Downy, rinse and refresh. Break up with stinky clothes.
Rinse it out.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of the stinks that just will never come out.
Oh, Downy in the rinse shade.
Every now and then I rinse it out. One wash and it delivers. One wash, it smells so clean.
Downy, rinse and refresh, it's a dream.
Downy, rinse and refresh. Fights odor in just one wash. Guaranteed.
If you love designer brands and you love clearance, then you're going to love this. Macy's is having a huge designer clearance event right now with incredible new designer markdowns on cold weather styles from BCBG, Hugo Boss, Michael Kors, and more. How big are the markdowns? How about Coach boots for $200 or less? So if you're looking for the things you love all in one place, come in and shop the designer clearance event at Macy's today. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson approves of raids by Customs and Immigration. Speaking to WISN-TV's Upfront Sunday, the Wisconsin Republican said they're looking for dangerous criminals.
In those law enforcement actions, if they find other people in this country illegally, they'll also be caught up in the law enforcement actions.
Johnson also says he generally approves of the presidential pardons issued to those convicted in the January 6th attack on the Capitol, but that he wouldn't have pardoned those convicted of violent actions. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin says she's ready to work with Republicans. The Wisconsin Democrat says she meets with newly elected members.
What I do is I look and see what sort of common ground we already have. You know, most people who've just won an election had an agenda that they talked about during their campaigns. I can look at the state they represent and see if their state has some similarities with Wisconsin.
Baldwin hopes to address immigration and border security and child care and housing costs. She says she'll resist efforts to alter Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Proposed legislation would return state employees to the office.
Representative Amanda Nedweski has introduced legislation alongside State Senator Corey Tomchek to return state employees to in-person work. The Pleasant Prairie Republican says nearly 5 years after the COVID pandemic, a significant number of state employees continue to work remotely, while productivity diminishes and office buildings sit mostly empty. The proposal requires that all state employees return to work in their physical offices by July 1st. Those whose job duties were already being performed off-site prior to March 2020 are exempt. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
At AdMed Health, we believe wholeness isn't any one field. It's all of them. Laughter to tears and everything in between. So let your hearts overflow. Let your spirits dare to hope. And let the sun shine through. May you always live in wonder, wondering at this life. And never, ever stop reaching for what makes you feel whole. Learn more at adventhealth.com/human spirit.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and breezy tonight, a low in the upper 20s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, high mid-30s. Then to the upper 40s with sunshine Thursday. Temps stay above average but cool into the 30s for the rest of the week with snow chances into this weekend. Bathroom remodels, only $99 a month at BCI Bath and Shower, 800-329-4115. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And good to have you with us. Welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We have plenty to talk about here on today's show. Coming up in just a little bit, we are going to talk with Dennis Smith from Archer Financial Services. On Friday, we had a rather friendly cattle on feed report. These cattle markets continuing to set records, continuing to soar higher. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the on-feed numbers and look ahead to a ever-important cattle inventory report here in just a few days. We're going to talk with Dennis here in segment two of today's program. Coming up in segment three, we're going to hear from the National Family Farm Coalition. We're going to talk with Antonio Tovar, Senior Policy Associate with NFFC, and he's going to be joined by Wisconsin dairy farmer Sarah Lloyd. We're going to talk about some of the issues that they are paying attention to when it comes to dairy and more, and policy and pricing for dairy producers, et cetera. Some of the work they're going to be looking to do with the new administration on Capitol Hill. So we're going to get to that conversation coming up here after the bottom of the hour. Then in segment four, a lot of talk about South America and crop conditions in both Brazil and Argentina. Soybean harvest underway in Brazil right now. We're going to get some updates, maybe some concerns that have been rumored out there in the trade. Dr. Michael Cordonier with Soybean and Corn Advisors is going to join us for a conversation coming up later on in the show in segment four today. So again, a lot to get to on the program. Market action on Tuesday, relatively quiet in the grains and oil seeds, just minor gains being shown for the most part, with cattle futures again trying to set more records, pushing a little bit higher. And again, we're going to touch on that coming up here in just a little bit with Dennis Smith. I wanted to start the show, though, with a couple news headlines. And one thing in particular I wanted to talk about a little bit. I was watching TV last night, and normally I'll flip through the news channel sometimes, or I'll have sports on, et cetera. Or honestly, half the time I might be watching reruns of Two and a Half Men, something to just kind of zone out to and laugh at and relax, et cetera, et cetera. But I happen to have Fox News on, and you know, you may have an opinion one way or another on Fox News. And there was an interesting comment made by Jesse Waters about egg prices that kind of got me thinking that sometimes mainstream media, when it comes to agriculture-related news, they need to have a little more context to it. Now, this was only 30 seconds of what I saw, so I may have missed something. It's very possible. But they were talking about egg prices and how egg prices are skyrocketing. Now, many of us at agriculture know that it's due to the issues with bird flu. Well, the comment that was made in passing on Fox News was that it's because Joe Biden ordered the culling of so many birds. Well, that happened because we're fighting bird flu in this country. And bird flu is a rapid issue that the Trump administration and USDA nominee Brooke Rollins, they need to get under control and deal with, because really at the root of this, the reason egg prices are going higher is because we are losing birds to bird flu. It's becoming a political issue. Democrats are going after President Trump now, saying that he has not brought down food prices like he said he was going to do on day one. But this is something that can't be done in a day. We have to put a little perspective on this. The latest data from USDA, this is as of Monday, and the last reported detection was on Friday the 24th. Just in the last 30 days, we have had 15.63 million birds affected by bird flu. And this is just for commercial and backyard flocks. There's other segments of this we can look at as well. The state of Ohio, for instance, has had over 4 million birds affected in 21 commercial flocks in the last 30 days. Okay, that is a crisis that we have here dealing with this. And I know we've talked about biosecurity can help, et cetera, but there's got to be something more substantial done to stem the tide of egg prices here rising and rising. The average price of a dozen large grade A eggs was $4.15 in December, up from $3.65 in November. That according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now, the USDA saying that egg prices could increase some 20% in 2025 due to the issues with bird flu. And I know we have other prices on store shelves that are continuing to go higher. Beef, for instance, coffee, orange juice, you name it. Prices are not that friendly at the grocery store right now. And I know it's a big issue that will have to be taken care of. And it's something that has been building over years and years and years. It's not going to be something that could get taken care of in a day or 2 days for that matter. I know it hurts people's pocketbooks. You know, the producer price index for farm products, eggs for fresh use, according to December data, the number point 506.3, we had a high back in December 2022 of 580.6. That's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics as well. So there's a lot of things here, but at the root of this, the point I want to make is that I hope people put this into context more so than just listening to or reading what they see, you know, reading something from somewhere or hearing something from somewhere that, and with this being a political issue or trying to be made into a political issue, I wish that would stop, because the issue here is that we have to get bird flu under control. And I hope that USDA takes this seriously, administration takes this seriously, because egg prices, they're not going to come down anytime soon if we continue to see these flocks get infected with bird flu. It's a tough situation. So again, that comment just kind of caught me off guard, and I hope that people try to put this into perspective when they hear these issues about egg prices, because it's not a political issue. It's a bird flu issue that we have to get under control. Coming up here on the show as well, as we're getting close to the break here, we're going to talk, we'll weave in the cattle side of things here. We're going to talk about high beef prices in just a moment. I mentioned we're going to talk about the dairy sector later in the show, some of the things that they are watching there, some of the issues for dairy producers. One other quick news note I do want to make here. It was announced on Tuesday morning that former Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack has been appointed as the CEO of the World Food Prize Foundation. You find more details about that story at agricultureofamerica.com. Okay, I'm off my soapbox now. Coming up next on AOA, we are going to take a look at the latest cattle on feed report. We're going to talk about what the cattle inventory report may have in store for us. Take a look at record prices in cattle futures, cash cattle country. Dennis Smith with Archer Financial Services will join us next on AOA, Agriculture of America. Back after this.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening, and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, we continue to see record high cash cattle trade, record high cattle futures, record high beef prices at the grocery store, a friendly cattle on feed report. There is a lot of talk surrounding this cattle industry and the cattle markets right now. That's one of the key topics we're going to talk about here on AOA as we continue. Joining us now, Dennis Smith with Archer Financial Services. Dennis, it's great to hear from you again. How are you, sir?
Real good, Jesse. Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Well, I would just like to start with what I led in with there, Dennis. This cattle market just continues to be on fire. I'll just start here. What is your perspective on what we have been seeing in recent days, weeks, months in cattle futures and the cash trade?
Well, what we saw last week was historic, and a big, huge jump in the cash, up anywhere from $6 to as much as $10 in the cash steer market. Obviously, statement is that packers are caught short bought. It seems like the bottom line to the whole ball of wax is the fact that demand just does not slow down. Demand has been better than expected by the packer, and they need inventory to meet commitments. And that's got them chasing, even though we saw the production last year not even lower from the previous year. But the perception is that production will fall this year as placements continue or begin to decline. It's actually just started. So it's an absolutely wild environment right now.
Well, looking at this market, too, the cattle on feed report we got on Friday, that seemed relatively friendly into the market again. Your thoughts on that on feed report?
Yeah, the placements were lower. They were down over 20% in Texas, and that's something we had identified and expected, primarily due to the Mexican border closure. That closure has been in effect all through January, with maybe some animals starting to come north here right now as we speak in this week. But basically that means that placements will be lower in Texas again in January. Placements were up a little bit in the other cattle areas, Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, but overall placements lower. The trade was looking for higher placements, and that was the bullish surprise.
Wondering as well, I know we got a cattle inventory report coming up here in a few days, Dennis, and just looking at what the futures have been doing and cash has been doing, you know, wondering when could the other shoe drop potentially in this market? And that's, I know, a big concern as we get to these lofty levels. When you look at the estimates for the inventory report, could that be the black swan event that might hit this cattle market potentially, or is that looking friendly as well?
It should be friendly. There is absolutely no indication that any expansion in the beef herd occurred during 2024. So we should be looking at a smaller calf crop for 24 versus 23, which means or should imply anyway lower placements during 2025. Even though the border has been opened with Mexico, the protocol in place is expected to limit the influx of cattle from Mexico due to the screwworm infestation. So I would expect the cattle inventory report to be very friendly.
We're talking with Dennis Smith from Archer Financial Services. Dennis, one more thing here on the cattle. From a risk management standpoint, you know, we've gotten, I think a lot of folks, maybe not everybody, but a lot of folks have gotten very bulled up here with this cattle market over the last year, to be quite honest. And maybe they're losing sight of their risk management, possibly, potentially. I feel like these are lofty levels here that you have to protect in some way, right?
Well, the problem is, Jesse, yeah, you're exactly right, but the futures market is not offering any opportunities for risk management. Let me explain. I guess this is what we describe as a realizing bull market. In other words, the futures market, it basically says every day, prove it to me. So you have a situation where the entire futures market is discount, a situation where the deferred contracts are sharply discount at record high cash prices, record high wholesale beef prices for this time of year, record high retail beef prices, and record high feeder cattle prices. The deferred live cattle contracts are just not able or willing to project even higher prices. So what I'm saying is there's absolutely no hedge available. If you buy feeders today, there's absolutely no way to hedge your risk.
An interesting thing to think about, and we're going to have to see what happens here with this cattle market as we move forward. I wonder, as we're getting to these lofty levels, though, you know, we're still seeing decent demand at the grocery store for beef, even at high prices. I was just talking about high egg prices in the opening segment of the show, and really the cost of, you know, a lot of different things at the grocery store. Pork is still fairly cheap in considering, you know, where beef prices and et cetera are. So you look at the hog market and the pork side of the equation, could some of these high levels in cattle spur over a little bit of support and demand to the hog side?
Most definitely. I am quite bullish in the hog market, and that's one reason why. Pork is a value. Pork loins are an incredible low value. Just a couple of weeks ago, U.S. pork loins were trading at a 52-week low and below a dollar a pound. Incredibly cheap source of protein. Hogs have a lot of other variables that I consider bullish. The USDA has provided us with another overcount, or so it appears, on the butcher hog supplies, and disease issues in the U.S., PRRS and PED, continue to whittle away at the winter pig crop.
I should ask you as well here, let's bring in the grains into the conversation. We're talking about what's making its way into the feed bunk for cattle, for hogs, et cetera, for chickens, you name it. We've seen a rally in grain prices. Been met with some pretty considerable farmer selling in the U.S. and South America, it seems like, here in the last several days. What's your take on the grain markets right now and some of the impacts over into livestock from grains?
Well, starting with soybeans and soybean meal, first of all, I think those markets, they've had an impressive rally, and I think the rally is over. In fact, I'm quite negative, both short-term and longer-term in the soybean complex. I think the meal market breaks down, moves back down below $300 in the March meal. That'll take soybean prices lower. So I think the flurry of buying in the soybean market has run its course. I also think the high chance that corn prices have put in some highs, at least near-term highs, that likely will hold until or unless we get into some sort of a problem with our growing season this spring and summer.
You know, and we're watching South American weather, maybe some concerns down there. We're going to hear more about that later in the show from Dr. Michael Cordonier. But, you know, looking at the U.S., I mean, Dennis, there is some drought concern in the plains in the Midwest that if something doesn't change in our weather pattern, it could be a tough start to spring planting. So to your point, there are some potential weather challenges on the horizon as we get into 2025.
There is, and we'll see how that maps out subsoil moisture-wise going into the season. Seems like we kind of dodged a bullet last year with timely rains, and yet you wonder if the Corn Belt will be that lucky again this spring and summer. We'll see.
Yeah, we will. Final thoughts, Dennis. We got about a minute here. Anything you'd want to mention or reiterate to folks today?
Well, the outlook for cash this week, cash steer prices, is higher. They're asking $2.12 right now, and that's in the Southern Plains versus a $2.08 market last week. So dressed beef is offered at $3.36. The outlook is for higher cash again this week, and the packers are cutting back severely on the kill, and that should prop up the wholesale beef complex.
Always appreciate the insight and the perspective. Folks can learn more, archerfinancials.com. Dennis Smith, Archer Financial Services. Great to hear from you again. Thanks for joining us on AOA. Have a great week, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Jesse.
Etta Smith with us from Archer Financial Services. And again, that cattle market, a lot to pay attention to there, and record high prices continuing here. Doesn't seem like there's an end in sight. Coming up next, we're going to talk about dairy industry issues with the National Family Farm Coalition. Antonio Tovar and Wisconsin dairy farmer Sarah Lloyd will join us next on AOA.
By the time you're done listening to this ad, nearly a dump truck's worth of plastic will have made it into the ocean. Plastic has become a useful part of our everyday lives, but it's polluting the air, water, and soil that all life needs to survive. This is a human problem that can be solved with human action, but it's going to take all of us, from individuals to businesses to governments and everyone in between. Help create a cleaner future for both people and nature. Visit wwf.earth/plastics.
Are you heading to NCBA in San Antonio? On Wednesday, February 5th, stop by Novo Nessus Booth 2251 for some exciting live radio. AOA will be broadcasting live from 9 to 10 a.m. We will be highlighting how research-proven probiotics support the normal development and productivity of cattle, as well as more about world-leading biosolutions from Novo Nessus, formerly Christian Hansen. Also on Thursday at 11:30 in the Learning Lounge, I will be hosting a Novo Nessus panel. We'll see you in San Antonio.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit WisconsinSoybean.org.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, February milk up 45 to 2040, March up 52 to 2011, April up 39 to 1985, May up 23 at 1966. Triple-digit gains in the live and feeder cattle markets. Hogs also mostly higher with most contracts with triple-digit gains. Strength in boxed beef prices. The continued bullish cattle on feed report supporting the live and feeder cattle markets. Strength in pork cutout values helping to support hogs on the day. February live cattle up 287 to 208.55. January feeder cattle up 210 to 281.82. February hogs up 85 cents to 83.90. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets were higher. Soybeans also slightly higher and wheat moving higher. Wheat higher due to a big jump in European wheat prices and MATIF wheat prices helping to offset strength in the dollar. Corn and beans, a little bit of some technical buying after the big losses from earlier in the week helping to support prices on the day. March corn up 3 1/4 to 485 and a quarter. New crop up 2 3/4 to 461. March beans steady at 1045. New crop up 4 1/4 to 1047 and a half. March wheat up 9 3/4 to 545 and a quarter. Minneapolis wheat March up 11 3/4 to 597 and a half.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Customer owned, community minded.
When your reputation is on the line, go to the Midwest leader, Bauer Built Tire and Service, for all your tire and service repair needs. They've been supplying cars, SUVs, light and medium truck tires, as well as farm tires since 1944. Plus, they've built their reputation on services such as alignments, brakes, and suspension work that will exceed your expectations. Stop in today at Bauer Built Tire and Service on Mall Drive in Eau Claire and in Durand. Bauer Built, built on service.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
for the National Family Farm Coalition as we get into a new Congress and a new administration. Joining us first, he's been with us on the program before, Senior Policy Associate for NFFC. Antonio Tovar is with us. And Antonio, it's good to hear from you again. Thanks so much for being here.
Hello. It's very nice to join you and to be with your audience. Thanks for letting us share a little bit of the work that we are trying to do for this new cycle of the legislation and the administration.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you brought a guest with you as well, someone who is working with you in the NFFC team. She is Wisconsin dairy farmer Sarah Lloyd. Sarah, it's good to have you join us here on AOA. How are you?
I'm great. Greetings from Wisconsin, and really important. Happy to be a farmer here to talk about the issues of dairy and what can we make work for our farmers and our communities.
Awesome. Absolutely. Well, we're going to lean in there a little bit today, as I know that the dairy aspect of policy is something that you guys, it's one of the many things you're working on at NFFC, Antonio. Just start from your perspective with the National Family Farm Coalition of some of the work you guys are doing, not just with dairy, but just across the board. If you got a few things you want to highlight for us to start.
Yeah, you know, one of the priorities of the NFFC is to get fair prices for farmers in all the different sectors. And we were hopeful that competition is one of those processes in which farmers can get fair prices. But with what we have seen in agriculture, like a lot of concentration, a lot of consolidation, like there is less competitions for small farmers. So I think that for the incoming administration and the legislation, our work for the farm bill has not changed in terms of trying to bring changes that will provide farmers with that competition, like a more fair competition, that they have better access for land and credit, and in the dairy sector as well. Like the dairy producers have very little options to sell their milk, and that's one of the challenges to get fair prices.
And that's a great point. And we think about fair pricing and more. I think about things such as MCOOL, and we just saw reforms to the federal milk marketing orders. And so there's been some different things that have been going on here that have had an impact on the dairy sector. Sarah, let's bring you in. Share your perspective on some of the things on the dairy side, trying to get some of this fairness for farmers here. What is your perspective there as a producer in Wisconsin?
Yeah, and I just want to clarify, we're actually one of the hundreds of farms across the country that we had to sell our dairy cows in the spring because we just couldn't make it go. We were milking 450 cows, my husband, his brother, my in-laws, you know, and we just couldn't run any faster on the treadmill. And I think that's the dilemma that people have right now, is that the prices are not keeping up with the escalating cost of production, especially for small and mid-sized farms, which I consider us one. You know, we are, my brother-in-law is raising some heifers for someone else. You know, we may get back into it, but I watch the dairy situation very carefully, and I'm here in America's Dairyland, and it is quite frankly a bloodbath right now. We're seeing people exiting dairy every day. People are selling their cows, and you can't make any money in dairy. And we need some support in pricing. We need to bring the flood of overproduction under control. We also need to be able to identify products, whether they be dairy or meat or anything, that it's actually being produced and processed in the United States. I know that consumers want that, and that's only fair for producers. And also, you know, we need to build our food system. I want to mention the milk market orders that you mentioned, because I don't think that what came out of those hearings is a good deal for farmers. The processors got their make allowance established and raised again. But where's that going to come off of? It's most likely going to come off the backs of the farmers. And we need federal action to have a mechanism to get a fair price for farmers. Yeah, dairy processors, cheesemakers, they need to make a living, but so do farmers. And the reason you're seeing such a mass exit of dairy farms is because we cannot get a fair price.
Startling things to think about. How do we change this conversation? I mean, how can we stop some of this from happening? I mean, Antonio, from a policy side, from your perspective, what can be done? Is there optimism with the new administration and a new Congress that we can make some meaningful change here?
Well, we have been advocating for a systemic change on the dairy system, for instance. Something that really controls the supply and demand, like the, something like, for instance, in sugar is happening. Sugar in the United States is something that that really provides the farmer with fair prices, and it doesn't cost any for the taxpayers. This is something that can be replicated in dairy if there is the political will to do it. I think that's the main case for dairy producers. Dairy is still a commodity that there is a lot of dairy farmers, small, medium dairy farmers, that we can save. So I think that the case for provide this change also replicate to rural America. This is a discourse that the current administration had in terms of saving rural America. So we need to provide a system that will maintain dairy producers on their land. And the other opportunity you mentioned, MCOOL, this administration has mentioned a lot that America first. So I will say American farmers first as well. And if we don't keep a system that really look at the local markets, at the farmers to have a better price that is not taken out from the distribution system, the supermarkets that actually is getting more of the dollar for each product, it will be better for the farmer. And it potentially can reduce the cost of food. That is also another priority from this administration. So we see some opportunities. Obviously, it's not going to be easy because the mega producers are also going to probably see less income from their production, but that will level up the market.
Sarah, from your perspective, how can producers get involved here? How can they make their voice heard? Is there optimism that we could see some meaningful change with the new administration and more? I mean, it's just talk about how folks can make their voice heard.
Yeah. So, you know, the reason I'm here talking with you today is I'm a member of the Family Farm Defenders, which is a Wisconsin-based organization that is a member of the National Family Farm Coalition. And so, for example, I'm going to go to D.C. and join a group of farmers from around the U.S. To actually do some of those conversations with this new Congress and the administration. So I encourage people to get involved with a farm organization. And I think that calling your congressperson, we may have new congresspeople that don't have a background here, and we need to demand fair prices. We can have a reform in the pricing structure so that small and mid-scale farmers can still get a fair shot at the market. In the past, we used to have tiered pricing much more that took into consideration some of the differences between the mega farms and the more family scaled farms. So people should join organizations, talk to their representation, and talk to their processors and cheesemakers. You know, we are all in this together and we need each other. But the the power of the processors and the retailers is really taking a bite out of the farmers. And so we need some help here on the farm side of things.
Antonio, final thoughts from you as we get ready to close out the segment here. Anything else you'd add to Sarah's points? Any other thoughts you'd share from NFFC's perspective?
Yeah, I think that Sarah put it very well in terms that it is everybody's work to see that our food system is fair, that we provide we provide a path for a rural America that is strong. We are losing population in rural America, and that's because farmers are getting out of business. So if we want a strong country, the rural area also has to be part of it.
Sarah, any final thoughts from you as we wrap it up today?
Yeah, I just think, you know, dairy is such an important part of the areas that it's in because it's such a cash mover. You know, I think about when I was writing checks to my implement dealers and my seed dealers and my dairy system mechanics, like we are an engine in our economy locally, and we're losing that. And so that's one more reason why dairy is a really critical area for the upper Midwest, New England, Pennsylvania, California, all across the U.S. Dairy is really key because it's such an economic driver.
A key issue to pay attention to. Folks can also learn more at nffc.net. Antonio Tovar with the National Family Farm Coalition and also Sarah Lloyd, Wisconsin dairy producer. Thank you both for joining us here on the program today, and we'll look forward to talking again in the future.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, up next, we're going to get an update on the weather conditions and more in South America with Dr. Michael Cordonier from Soybean and Corn Advisor here on AOA.
Don't you wish your
life insurance? Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. Every day, ZipRecruiter helps people who are actively looking for jobs like yours, so it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney or if I look like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare without me being an attorney. And I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call, and you will not talk to an attorney. And I guarantee if we take you as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free information kit. 800-714-9090. 800-714-9090. 800-714-9090.
On Wednesday, February 5th, stop by Novo Nesis Booth 2251 for some exciting live radio. AOA will be broadcasting live from 9 to 10 a.m. We will be highlighting how research-proven probiotics support the normal development and productivity of cattle, as well as more about world-leading biosolutions from Novo Nesis, formerly Christian Hansen. Also on Thursday at 11:30 in the Learning Lounge, I will be hosting a Novo Nesis panel. We'll see you in San Antonio.
Hey, I'm your mountain bike. Been a minute since we hit the trail. Why not roll me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that keeps us all moving. Donate today. On your left. To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now on the program, let's get an update on crop conditions and more in South America. Dr. Michael Cordonier with Soybean and Corn Advisor is with us. Dr. Cordonier, welcome back to AOA. Good to hear from you again. I hope all is well.
Everything is fine, and always my pleasure.
Well, let's start with an update. Let's focus on Brazil first. We've been seeing some various posts on social media about harvest progress for soybeans, hearing some reports about some of that progress, maybe a little slower than last year. There's been talk about rains in central and northern Brazil and maybe some dryness in the south. So as you take a look across Brazil, what's the latest? What can you tell us?
Okay, well, Brazil in general, as of last Friday, soybeans were 3.9% harvested compared to 10.8% last year. And Mato Grosso, the big state, is quite behind. They're 4.3% harvested compared to 21.5% last year. Now, the only state that's ahead of average is Paraná, and they're 11.2% harvested compared to 18 last year. So you're right, it's been very wet in central Brazil for about the last month and a half. A lot of overcast skies, lack of sunshine. Now, the early yields, they're good, don't get me wrong, but they're not quite up to what people thought they would be. The crop just looked fantastic, tall, green, lush, but it didn't quite yield what they thought, and everybody's attributing that to a lack of sunshine. Now, it has dried up a little bit last week. This week, there's going to be some more rain this week. And then what farmers are afraid of is a return of heavy rains for a prolonged period of time. And that would be quite bad news. Now, the yields down in southern Brazil, like the state of Paraná, they've been on the disappointing side. And that's because of dry weather down in that state. So kind of a mixed bag on yields so far.
We've been hearing some reports of maybe some quality concerns in Brazil, and I know we've also seen this recent news about phytosanitary concerns with Brazil and China, and I believe it's five different shippers. Can you tell us anything about that whole situation?
Yeah. Okay, that thing with China, it was from from individual locations in five different companies. So it wasn't that five companies were prohibited. It was just like five individual grain elevators were prohibited. And they said, well, they never actually said what the problem was. And some people said it was treated soybeans that got put into the regular hold of the ship, or maybe some insects. This is a minor deal. I don't see this having much long-term problems at all. It'll be resolved quite easily and quite quickly. Now, the other concern about the general overall quality issues, haven't heard any quality issues yet today, but what everybody's concerned about is, as the beans start to mature, then if you get a long period of weather, a week long of, you know, constant rain, there could be quality issues. Has not happened yet, but it certainly is a possibility. And there's going to be logistical issues. I can just see it coming. You know, farmers are going to want to get their beans as quick as they can. They're not going to wait for 13, 14% moisture out there in the field for fear of, you know, a prolonged period of rain coming back in. So they're going to get those beans at 18, 20% moisture. And they need to be dried. And here's the problem. Only 15% of the storage in Brazil is on farm. So 85% of the beans have to go to a grain elevator or the co-op. And those grain elevators don't have the drying capacity to dry every load of soybeans coming in. Now, if you're a farmer and you don't have on-farm storage, your combine dumps into a truck, and the truck heads to the grain elevator. Now, if they don't have enough drying capacity, he may be waiting in line 2 or 3 days to unload. And you, as the farmer, you can't keep harvesting until the truck returns or a truck comes back. So there's going to be some issues, I think, logistically, getting all these beans dried, because they're going to be harvested at high moisture. I can just see it coming.
All right. Some interesting things to keep an eye on there for sure. Let's look at Argentina. We've been hearing about deteriorating conditions, a lot of heat, lack of moisture in many parts of the country. What's the latest you could share in terms of Argentina's conditions?
Yes, they've been not very good weather-wise. A lot of hot and dry conditions. It's gotten a little bit better rainfall-wise in the last week or so, but not enough to change your overall pattern. You know, and the soybeans, for example, are rated 22% good to excellent. That's down from 68% good to excellent 6 weeks ago. It's gone down every week for the last 6 weeks. Corn down to 30% good to excellent, also down every week for the last six. So the situation in Argentina is not catastrophic, but it's certainly going to be very disappointing as far as yields are concerned. The two major grain exchanges, the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange and Rosario Grain Exchange, have both lowered their estimates. I've lowered mine 2 weeks in a row. I'll lower it again today in our report later on today. And, you know, we're down to maybe 3 or 4 million tons below where we started. And it could go even lower. So the situation in Argentina is not so good. Now, one bright side for the guys in Argentina, remember last year we talked about corn leafhoppers being catastrophic in a lot of fields? They have disappeared. Now there's almost no corn leafhoppers at all in Argentina, except for a few locations far north. So that's a good thing. And also the big news in Argentina lately is the reduction of export taxes. Starting today, soybeans that used to have a tax of 33%, now it's down to 27%. Meal and oil used to be 31%. Now it's down to 24.5%. And corn and wheat used to be 12. Now it's down to 9.5%. And these reductions will stay in place until the end of June. And the president of Argentina has said, our goal is to eliminate them completely. But this is all we can do for the time being. So moving in the right direction. For farmers in Argentina, they of course want it completely eliminated, but they don't have the wherewithal to do that yet. But at least they got some reprieve on these export taxes, which is good for them, bad for us in the United States, and bad for Brazil, because it makes soybeans in Argentina more competitive.
Dr. Michael Cordonier with Soybean and Corn Advisor, thanks for joining us on AOA. We'll talk to you again soon.
Always my pleasure. No problem.
And thank you for joining us here for AOA. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Teachers are dynamic leaders, shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast change.
Build your business with a partner you can trust, the Home Depot. When you join Pro Xtra, you get lower than shelf pricing and dedicated support to help you streamline your business and stay on budget. Get dedicated pro support for supply sourcing, custom orders, large equipment rentals, and more. At the Home Depot, we supply the support your job needs with the level of service your business deserves. The Home Depot, how pros get more done.
Hawk's work boots are built from the simple idea that those who feed, build, and fuel the nation shouldn't have to compromise on work boots. Available only at Boot Barn, Hawk's constructs high-quality, field-tested work boots that provide unmatched protection and support for workers across all industries. Safety toe boots that are puncture-resistant, slip-resistant, and built with cushioned insoles for all-day comfort. Hawk's is built to last. Hawk's work boots, only at Boot Barn.
Advertise your business here, where word of mouth reaches more people than ever. Local radio. We're real country. 1430 AM stereo. WRDN. Durand, O'Galley, Wamundee, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House is defending President Trump's executive order that temporarily freezes federal funding for key programs and foreign aid. A half dozen states already filing lawsuits.
The White